This corridor in the basement of the psychology department at Stanford University looks very similar to those pictures from the black and white, grainy footage from 40 years ago, when these three offices were turned into prison cells, the wooden doors replaced with bars.
Everybody out!
All right, come on, up, up!
I mean, Jesus Christ, I'm burning up inside, don't you know?
I just can't take it.
Help me out!
No, no, no! I'm Dave Eshelman, and 40 years ago, I was a guard in the Stanford Prison Experiment. We were given uniforms and nightsticks and badges and mirrored sunglasses.
My name's Clay Ramsay, and in my case, I was a prisoner. I was stripped of my clothes, and then I got my prison uniform, which was a smock and a number, 416.
I'm Philip Zimbardo. I'm a professor emeritus at Stanford University. The first day they came there, it was a cockamamie little prison set up in a basement with fake prison door cells. And after the second day, it was a prison created in the minds of each prisoner, of each guard, and also of the staff.
416, I want you to walk over here like Frankenstein and say that you love 293. You smile, 293!
I made the decision that I would take on the persona of a very cruel prison guard.
Oh, he was acting, and he was having fun. The act was to be sadistic, but since you're actually doing this with real people, and they're not acting, then it is an expression of sadistic impulses.
Oh, the experiment was the right thing to do. The wrong thing was to do was to let it go past the second day. Once a prisoner broke down, we've proved the point that situations can have a powerful impact. So I didn't end it when I should have.
416, while they do push-ups, you sing Amazing Grace.
I kept sort of looking for the limits. At what point would they stop me and say, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. This is just an experiment. I've had enough. But I don't know that I ever reached that point.
Really, the most effective thing they did was simply disrupt sleep, which is a known torture technique. What was demanded of me physically was way too much, and I also felt that there was really nobody rational at the wheel of this thing. And so I just started refusing food.
Prisoner 819 did a bad thing. Prisoner 819 did a bad thing.
The study ended because a young woman, Christina Maslach, who had been my graduate student at Stanford, just got a PhD. And what she sees is the prisoners lined up, guards put paper bags over their head, and their legs are chained together one-to-one. And I tell Chris, hey, look at that. Isn't that interesting? I look at her, and she has tears welling up. And I say, what's wrong with you? She said, I can't stand to look at this. And she runs out of the building.
The best thing about it is that it was ended early. The worst thing about it is that the author of it, Zimbardo, has been rewarded with a great deal of attention for 40 years. So people are taught an example of very bad science, and I don't just mean ethically bad.
I think that I learned that in the proper situation, I'm probably capable of doing things that I will look back on with some shame later on. When I saw the pictures come out of Abu Ghraib, it immediately struck me. They were very familiar to me. And I knew immediately that these were probably pretty normal people. They weren't the bad apples that the Defense Department tried to paint them as.
People around the world were shocked by the images of abuse in Abu Ghraib. I was shocked, but I wasn't surprised because many of those scenes were scenes from the Stanford Prison Study. Prisoners stripped naked, bags put over their head, forced into sexually humiliating positions. It does tell us that human nature is not totally under the control of what we like to think of as free will, of personal intention, but that the majority of us can get seduced into behaving in ways that are totally atypical of everything we believe we are.